mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, many people, especially young people today, get everything from skincare routines to diet tips from social media, much of which is scientifically unsound and even dangerous. A conversation this morning with the author of Dead Wrong, Diagnosing and Treating Healthcare's Misinformation Illness. Also this morning, inflation has slowed, but high prices are still putting pressure on consumers, with sales of big-ticket items being hit the hardest, making it more important than ever to make wise and well-researched buying decisions. And more than 47 million Americans are food insecure. Ironically, the problem is particularly acute in rural areas, the very communities that produce what we eat. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, September 12th, 2024. So it is going to be a beautiful day today, not so in the Gulf Coast. Hurricane Francine? Is that the... Francine made landfall in Louisiana. It was a Category 2 storm when it made landfall, so not a huge... I mean, Category 2 is nothing to slouch at, but it's not a monster Category 5 storm a la Katrina, but Louisiana getting soaked. And they say that the after effects, it's now down to a tropical depression and will continue to weaken as it moves further inland. And they say that it may impact our weather. At least that was the report that I read, that it could bring rain to the Ohio Valley here in the next several days. But at least right now, our forecast does not reflect that. It is, there's no mention of rain in the forecast for the next 7 to 10 days. So we'll see how it goes. Obviously, if and when we get any of the after effects from Francine, it's not going to be anything near hurricane level strength, but it does bring up this item among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. A new Bankrate survey finds that just over a quarter of American homeowners say that they are not prepared financially. This is a Bankrate survey, so they're talking about the financial impacts in the case of extreme weather events. One in four American homeowners say they are not prepared financially for the after effects of an extreme weather event. The good news here is that Midwesterners tend to be the most prepared for a natural disaster. Fewer than 20% say that they are unprepared. So more than 80% say that they feel they are adequately prepared for the financial impact of severe weather. That is good news. Those most likely to say they are unprepared are in the South, which is where hurricanes strike a lot of times. Nearly 30%, nearly one in three, say they are unprepared in that part of the country. 15% in this survey said that they would need to go into debt to afford just the deductible of their homeowner insurance policy if their home were hit by a hurricane, tornado. That's the other big thing they have in parts of the South. Yeah, that is rather problematic. So might be a reason to kind of look over your policy and make sure that you are as financially prepared as you think you are. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started. This was kind of interesting. It does have sort of a Northwest Ohio bent to it. A bit of a tie-in here. Fortune magazine is out with their list of best workplaces in retail. Best workplaces in retail. And for the ninth year in a row, the Wegmans supermarket is number one on the national list. Now, Wegmans is a supermarket chain that has, they're based in Rochester, New York, and have more than 100 stores along the East Coast. We don't have Wegmans here, so you're thinking, well, why even bring it up? Well, because other companies on the list that have been certified, and by the way, the award is based on survey responses from employees themselves. So these are the workers themselves ranking the great places to work in retail companies. Other companies on the list, Walmart, Target, and Sheetz. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Of course, Sheetz is moving aggressively into Findlay and Northwest Ohio and all of that. Now, this is the retail side, not like the warehouse and, you know, things like that. But Sheetz on the list. So kind of interesting there. A couple of other items here. A little bit later on this morning, this is our cover story this morning. We're talking about the new book, Dead Wrong, Diagnosing and Treating Healthcare's Misinformation Illness. And there is a growing concern among many in the healthcare industry that people are getting bad information on everything from diet and exercise to skin care, to even, you know, disease treatment online. People are turning to social media and getting bad information. And the healthcare industry is really concerned about this, as you might imagine. But it's not misinformation online certainly is not limited to healthcare. We've seen countless examples of bad info online. And a new study out of Washington State University has found that presenting people with actual facts after they have engaged with fake news and misinformation and disinformation online, presenting them with facts won't change their minds. Lead author of the study, Robert Danielson, said people can learn misconceptions pretty easily. Obviously, again, as we said, no shortage of that online. But then they, once you present them with the real facts, they have trouble believing it because they have that confirmation bias of what they've already seen and come to believe. Study participants who learned fake information were not swayed when presented with real information. However, I thought this was kind of interesting. Participants who read text that addressed the fake news arguments were more likely to show improvement in that area. So if you just tell people that they have fallen victim to fake news, they are not convinced. But if you show them the published evidence, then they are more likely to change their opinion. Basically, the study suggests that educators consider addressing common misconceptions instead of trying to correct misinformation after students have already learned it. So that's the basis of the study. But I just thought it was kind of interesting. And one of the reasons why it's so important to nip this in the bud. And again, that's our cover story this morning coming up a little bit later on. But I thought that was an interesting tie-in that just happened to pop up in the newswire this morning, as it never relates to something that we're going to be talking about on the program. New study out of the University of Michigan. Good news for those who are trying to lose weight and failing. Have you taken up an exercise routine in hopes of dropping some of that belly fat, but it's just it just persists? You can't lose it, right? Have you? You know the struggle. Well, there is good news according to this study out of the University of Michigan. Exercise may have a different kind of long-term benefit for those with obesity. It can, if it doesn't remove your belly fat, it can at least make it healthier. Professor Jeffrey Horowitz says exercising regularly for several months to several years seems to modify your fat tissue in ways that allow you to store your body fat more healthfully if or when you do experience some weight gain, as nearly everyone does as we get older. The study compared two groups of adults with obesity, one that exercised regularly and another that did not, and the fat samples from those who did exercise contained fewer inflammatory cells and more beneficial proteins. So the bottom line, long story short, you may not lose that nasty belly fat, but at least you will make it healthier. So don't give up on your exercise regimen. That is some good news. Some good news there. And lastly here, among the first things that you need to know, get your Thursday morning started. If you are looking for a side hustle, a way to make a little extra money, you might consider this as a business idea. Ernesto Verea has gone into business for himself, ruining wedding people's wedding day. And he gets paid quite handsomely to do so. It says here, what began as a joke has turned into a lucrative business for Mr. Varea, who posted an online ad offering to crash a couple's big day to get brides with cold feet off the hook, and presumably grooms with cold feet as well. This is what he says, if you have doubts or you don't want to get married, you decided you don't want to get married, but you don't know how to back out of it, don't worry, I will come and object to your wedding. When they add that line, if anyone has an objection, speak now or forever hold your peace or whatever. He's the one that speaks up and says, I object. The wedding destroyer, he calls himself, writes that all you have to do is tell me the time, the place, and the date, and I'll be there. But it won't be cheap. It'll cost you about $550 is what he charges for busting up and crashing a wedding. But he says, I will guarantee that I will get the wedding called off. So if a simple objection doesn't do it, he'll reach deeper into his bag of tricks, apparently. The response to his online ad has been so overwhelming, he says, according to a report in the New York Post, that he has actually booked through the end of the year. So apparently there are a lot of brides and or grooms with cold feet out there who have decided that they don't want to go through with it after all. Of course, there are occupational hazards that go along with destroying weddings. Occasionally, Mr. Varea says he will be attacked by angry guests. And when that happens, he says he demands extra pay. He said every slap is worth about $55. Every time he gets slapped, he sends him an invoice. So, I don't know. If you're looking for a side hustle, that is a little unusual, but apparently it is a growth industry. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Plenty of sunshine expected again today. A high in the upper 80s, partly cloudy tonight, a low around 60. A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held for the new first responder training facility in Findlay. The Strict Center is located behind Fire Station 4 on County Road 236. Strict stands for Simulated Tactical Response and Incident Command Training. Fire Chief Josh Eberle.
A cool aspect of the Strict Center is that we can get multiple agencies to train at the same time, because that was something that we identified early, where there wasn't a whole lot of training, cross-training going on between fire, law enforcement, and EMS.
The chief also pointing out that the community has been extremely supportive of the project, with more than half of the cost of the facility being covered through grants and donations. The Federal Highway Administration has awarded $15 million to Ohio for the installation of electric vehicle charging stations.
There will also be hundreds of EV charging port installations and dozens of curbside charging ports. And these installations are part of a project called the More EVs Initiative. The goal is to increase accessibility to these charging stations, reduce carbon emissions, and support the region's transition to sustainable transportation.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. People are invited to step back in time during an open house at the Little Red Schoolhouse in Findlay. The schoolhouse is located at 8884 County Road 236 and was built in 1882 and used to educate school children until 1936. Today it's owned and operated by the Hancock Historical Museum and hosts area third and fourth graders for field trips. The property also includes Brooklocker Memorial Park, which features a playground, sculptures, and an outdoor history walk. The park opened in 2020 as the Kiwanis Club of Findlay's 100th year project and continues to be a flourishing collaboration between Kiwanis and the museum. The open house at the Little Red Schoolhouse is free of charge and will be held on Sunday from 1 to 4. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
But you know, in today's digital age, kids are learning everything from skincare routines to diet tips on social media, and it continues to be a primary source for people of all ages seeking health information and, unfortunately, misinformation amidst a sea of dubious products, practices, and falsehoods flooding their feeds. How can we ensure that the advice that we are following is scientifically sound? Dr. Geeta Nayyar is author of the USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestseller, Dead Wrong, Diagnosing and Treating Healthcare's Misinformation Illness, taking a hard look at the devastating impact of misinformation on our well-being. And Dr. G, this is not harmless. I mean, I think that the tendency is to think that either these things are not that big of a deal or that people don't take this seriously. But clearly, people are taking this seriously.
You bet. And Chris, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I do want to, at the top, just kind of define for you the difference between misinformation and disinformation. I think it's important for consumers to understand. So misinformation is when you get the facts wrong, I get the facts wrong, and we inadvertently share it with each other, and we continue to kind of propagate just the wrong facts, kind of like a rumor, right? Mm-hmm. Disinformation, however, is the intentional, duplicitous intent, often for profit, often for political gain, some sort of gain in which the masses are actually intentionally duped. And what we see and what you're talking about is more disinformation than anything. The skincare routine, the biohack, the idea that we can simplify science into this one tip. And if you just subscribe here,
right,
and that's really what folks have to be mindful of.
It is an important distinction, but if the information is dangerous, then one could argue it's a distinction without a difference. I mean, whether it's intentionally misleading or it's unintentionally misleading, the consequences can end up being the same.
That's absolutely right. But I think when we understand there's a machine behind it, that's where we can really share tips on what to look out for, right? If you understand disinformation is, in fact, a business and a machine, and the things you want to look for is exactly what we said, which is, are they pushing something? Are they selling something? Are they asking you to subscribe to something? Have you actually checked the source, right? TikTok has some great dance moves, some folks who claim to be healthcare experts, but do they have a medical license? Do they have a nursing license? Can you find them outside of TikTok? So these are the kinds of things you want to look for, along with the fact that science is typically complicated. When someone simplifies it into this one thing, I will say it again, you know, there's this whole thing on taping your mouth shut for snoring. Snoring, believe it or not, is an actually very complicated biological response. So this idea that this one thing could solve it is very unlikely in science, very unlikely in science. And perhaps the biggest tip for your listeners is to have your very own doctor, virtually or in person. But if you've got a question and you want that personalized advice, having a doctor might be the best tip I could give anyone who has a question about their body.
You know, here is the thing. And obviously, you know, that's absolutely great advice. But at the same time, we often encounter simple things that don't seem to rise to the level of going to see the doctor. I mean, if we went to see the doctor for every question we have, the doctors would never be able to see all their patients. So, you know, we've long gotten information from other people. Hey, try this. This is what worked for me, so on and so forth. So how do we discern what is genuine advice and advice with good intentions and not harmful side effects when it comes online versus word of mouth and so on? You understand where I'm going with this?
Sure. Well, first of all, just like seeing a financial advisor, the best time to go to the doctor is actually when you're well, not when you're sick. So I will just give you that disclaimer.
Right.
But look, being smart about your body, how to stay well before you are sick. There are great sources out there, whether it is the American Academy of Family Medicine. If you have children, have a question about your kids, the American Academy of Pediatrics, any and all diseases, for example, the American Diabetes Association, if you have diabetes. I'm a rheumatologist. I often send patients to the Lupus Foundation. It is a world of everyday tips, everyday information that you're talking about. But again, looking to see who is the organization, what is the source, what is the citation. And they often, and I'll tell you, patient advocacy groups are among the most underrepresented. Their entire function is to take care of patients. Their entire business model, and they are a nonprofit status most of the time, their entire mission is to do exactly what you're talking about, which is to let people know, if you're living with diabetes, if you're living with heart disease, here's the things to be proactive about. So they exist, and I think we do continually see them increasing their social media presence, but they often get drowned out by those looking for profit and those who are much more savvy with artificial intelligence and other algorithms that are making them pop up for the everyday consumer.
One of the real concerning aspects of this is, you know, kind of where we started with respect to young people, teenagers and so on, who are taking in this information and obviously don't have the life experience or maybe the savvy to discern between all of those subtleties that you're talking about. How do we sort of deprogram, if you will, our kids to be more skeptical of some of this stuff that they see online? Because that, frankly, is what really scares me when I see some of these trends that kids are latching onto.
Well, it's a new generation, and I will share that I have a 12-year-old daughter, so I'll tell you what we did.
You know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, and you walk into any local Sephora, you'll see her whole class there buying anti-aging creams, right? So I'll tell you what I did, which is, number one, you discuss it at the kitchen table. Hey, I know this is a reality. I know you and all your friends are doing. And the same tips that I'm giving you here for your listeners, I actually shared with not just her, but her friends, because they all listen to their friends, right? And I did a little class on how do you tell if someone's actually a dermatologist? And how do you look to see if they're selling you something? You ladies don't want to be the fool, right? You don't want someone taking your allowance money for nothing. And I spoke to the moms and I set up an appointment with an actual dermatologist to say, hey, how do you at the age of whatever, keep your skin clean, do anti-aging? And, you know, surprise, surprise, it was keep it simple, moisturizer, sunscreen, and face wash. But they heard it from an expert. You know, my daughter doesn't believe I'm an actual doctor, right? I'm just mom. So having the conversation, having it with their friends, having it with the other parents, because they're dealing with the same thing. And guess what? When one of them says, hey, did you check? Is this the one, like in our case, it's, hey, Dr. G recommended? And I actually told them, I said, these are the three dermatologists. They're fantastic. I suggest you ladies follow them, check out their products, but then also have your own dermatologist, because acne is a problem. Acne is a problem for this adolescent kind of preteen. And so I kind of had the conversation with them of, you could actually be buying products that make it worse without realizing it. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to talk to them, but the same tips of checking the source, being mindful of the kinds of language is something being sold to you. And again, having your very own doctor, even before you actually have an issue, is ideally the best way to go about it.
I think it's also important to point out that we don't want to be the ones who are propagating this disinformation or misinformation by sharing it within our circle. Obviously, that's what the hucksters are counting on. But again, it takes a conscious, cognizant effort not to do, because we naturally want to be helpful. We see something that we think sounds logical or may have worked for us. We're going to share it with other folks, and then we become part of the problem.
That's right. And I think especially for teenagers or tweeners, it's the same thing. If you heard a rumor, you don't know if it's actually true. Hey, maybe it's not the best thing to spread that. And it's a similar concept. But to the flip point, right? How do you get them to be smart, Chris, and then also help each other and be like, hey, are you sure about that? And did we check with this? And my dermatologist said this, and my dermatologist said this, as opposed to the influencer XYZ. So it is, though, it is a brave new world for these young kids. It's hard enough for us as adults, but I think heading it head on, you got to head on, you have to have the discussion, and also, you know, listening to them and acknowledging that, you know, I understand you're growing, you're looking to be beautiful, you want to be confident. And so how do you do this in a smart way? But I think it's important to have the conversation.
It certainly is one of the buzzwords these days, misinformation and disinformation, whether we're talking about politics or, you know, anything else. But it becomes even more critical to be able to discern when we're talking about medical issues, things that are literally perhaps a matter of life and death, because there are examples of people, you know, with lifelong consequences of following bad advice.
And look, let's not forget, we're living in a post-pandemic world where we saw myth and disinformation really cost people their lives,
right,
intentionally or not. And so I think we have to remember that we are very lucky to be living in a post-pandemic world where there are all kinds of lessons we can learn. But I also am forever the optimist. And when I think about healthcare being on your proverbial wrist, everyone seems to have a watch measuring their steps, their mood, their sleep, or a ring doing the same. I think it's great that people are curious about their health, but nobody wants to be the fool, right, Chris? So how do you just be smarter with all the information that we now have? Because we have a lot more information than we ever had. And that's what I think is really exciting as a physician. But it's all about ensuring that the consumer is savvy and truly is empowered to take care of their own health.
The truth is out there. We just have to know where to find it. Again, Dr. Geeta Nayyar is author of Dead Wrong, Diagnosing and Treating Healthcare's Misinformation Illness. Do you have a website where folks can learn more about the book?
I do. It's drgeetanayyar.com, and the book is available on Amazon and anywhere books are sold.
Dr. G, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, like many segments of the economy in 2024, particularly when it comes to big ticket items, sales have been somewhat soft, not only because of rising prices, but because of the cost of borrowing money to buy those big ticket items has people hesitating. But when it comes to buying or leasing a car, oftentimes it's not a matter of when you want to buy, it's when you need to buy. And so joining us this morning is Kelley Blue Book Executive Editor Brian Moody. And Brian, you recently put out a survey, KBB, which found, and this is probably not surprising at all, that the vast majority of consumers are not really confident that they understand all of their options when it comes to car shopping. So what financial topics should buyers be researching and know more about before they even begin the process?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is you should be pretty well aware of interest rates. And what follows closely second to that is to know your credit score. So as part of that survey, we found that 31% of respondents in the Midwest, they didn't know their credit score, and many didn't know how they could find it. But the truth is you can find your credit score for free as part of a legislation that was passed some years ago. Credit agencies that report on you also now have an obligation to provide you with certain financial information about your credit score where they're reporting on it. So you should be able to find that easy and for free. Knowing your credit score will tell you what kind of a loan you're going to get and what kind of financing you qualify for.
So what are consumers prioritizing when they are thinking about purchasing or leasing a vehicle? And from your expert perspective, are they the right things?
Well, increasingly, we're seeing some consumers. We did do another survey some time back, and about more than half, let's say 60% of respondents said that they did want to consider the environment or the air quality of where they live as part of their purchase, their next purchase. So that doesn't mean electric cars. It just means that they're aware of it and that they want to make a wise choice. That could be a hybrid. That could be a plug-in hybrid. It could be a very high mileage gasoline powered car, because remember, the less gas a car burns, the better it is for the air quality. So a 60 mile per gallon car is going to do far better for the environment than another gas car that gets 20 miles per gallon.
Right.
So that's one thing that we found. And we also found that sometimes people just felt like hybrids were better fits for them. When it comes to purchasing, pricing can be confusing, but electric cars have been expensive. Hybrids are a little bit less expensive, but gasoline-powered cars remain the affordable choice, many under $30,000.
You know, we mentioned the survey showed that there are many things consumers admit that they don't know. What about the things that maybe they think they know, but maybe don't really know? In other words, what are some of the most common misconceptions that consumers have when looking at a vehicle?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one of the things is that people assume that when they see these advertised interest rates, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on the internet or television, that says, you know, 0% financing, 2.9% APR, 1.9 APR for 60 months, all that kind of stuff. Most people assume everyone just automatically gets that. You don't just get that. That's based on your credit score. You have to qualify for that. The second thing that people assume these days is that every new car is just ultra expensive. There's just no cheap cars anymore. That's not true either. Nissan alone has six models that start under $30,000. Toyota has some good cars under $30,000. Kia, Hyundai, and Ford as well. So there's many cars, new cars, that are under $30,000, some even around the $20,000 mark, but that's not going to be a big truck-based SUV, just so you know.
Yeah. We are hearing, because talking a lot about interest rates, and obviously that is top of mind for a lot of folks, given the fact that, you know, the cost of borrowing money for a big ticket item like an automobile is more expensive than it was a few years ago. But we are hearing that interest rate cuts are all but certain at the next meeting of the Federal Reserve, and perhaps several more cuts over the course of the next year or so. How will interest rates impact car buying as we head into, say, the fall and winter months?
Well, there's a very delicate balance between those things. You're right. We do expect interest rates to come down late fall into the winter. However, if several cuts follow that and interest rates continue to fall, it will probably do what it's designed to do, which is to stimulate growth and get people to buy those certain items that they may have been putting off. What that means for cars is that it means that over time, the price of the car could go up. Right now, the sellers of cars, mostly dealerships, know that with high interest rates, there's downward pressure on the price. People can't bear both a high-priced car and a high-interest loan.
Right.
They just decide, I'm going to keep my current car. So if you're in the market for a car and you think you might be buying one soon with a loan, I would start doing the research right now. I would take my test drive. I would make sure I have everything in order. And then when the interest rates come down, that's the time you act. Don't give the market any time to respond to that by having increased car prices. Just go get your car as soon as you know you can qualify for the lowest possible loan. Go buy it that day, and then you're going to be in good shape because you'll get the best deal you can get.
You make a good point that these things kind of take time to filter through the system. I mean, again, here in another week and a half, we may be talking about interest rate cuts that may or may not necessarily impact the market the next day or even the next week. It might take a little bit of time for that to sort of sort itself out at the retail consumer level.
Right, because the sellers of the cars have to see that there's interest. They can't just arbitrarily raise prices. Price reductions and price increases are almost always a response to market conditions. The reason that you see minivans retaining high prices is because they're popular. And the reason you see small SUVs, again, retaining MSRP or higher is because they're popular. So it takes the market some time to work those things out. But if you know what you're going to do and you have your ducks in a row and they reduce the, you know, your bank, your lending institution, or your dealership can get you a loan with a low interest rate, do it right then, because then you're going to get the best deal in terms of both the car price and the loan price.
And the same advice that has been true for forever remains true: not to rush into anything, to consider very carefully all of your options, because this is a big commitment.
Right. What I always tell people is treat buying a car the way you would any serious financial transaction. You wouldn't just show up at the bank and say, you know, I think I'm going to buy a house today.
Right.
Make an appointment. Go look at the car. Go on a weekday during the day like you would any financial transaction. Ask to see the car. Ask to hear about the specs, ask to go on a test drive. Do all those things at your own pace. And then on a different day, maybe there's a day that you're going to buy. Shopping is one day, buying is a different day.
Great advice. Again, Kelly Blue Book, Executive Editor Brian Moody with us this morning. Where do we get more information, more helpful advice for folks?
Well, all the information that we've been talking about, we have compiled this on one page on the Kelly Blue Book website. And you can go to kbb.com/finance. And find a lot of good articles, including loan calculators and how to get those great deals and who qualifies for 0% financing. All that is on the Kelly Blue Book website. at kbb.com/finance.
So very important, especially right now when money is so tight for so many people. Brian, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. Charges have been filed against a Toledo man, 22-year-old Michael Dickerson, robbed the Bambino's Pizza Shop on Monroe Street on Sunday night. Apparently, he went into the store, pushed the worker away from the cash register, grabbed all the money, and fled the scene. Here's the thing. Mr. Dickerson is a former employee of the same store. He robbed the store he used to work at. So obviously, they knew where to find him. They knew who he was and where to find him because he used to work there. Toledo police later arrested Mr. Dickerson on robbery charges. He's being held on a $50,000 bond. And probably wondering, where did my plan go wrong? However did they find me? Goodness. The criminal set, not always the brightest bulbs in the pack. You know what I mean? It's not to be outdone. Man in Sheldon, Vermont is accused of taking money from a convenience store where he currently worked. And after, here's the thing, not only did he rob his current employer, took the money from the store and then left the shop unattended. Because, I mean, after you rob the place, why would you hang around? I mean, you got to figure you're probably going to be fired anyway, so I guess there is some logic to that. Police say Jeffrey Brown cleaned out the cash register and took merchandise from the store on his way out and then left the state. Police located Mr. Brown after he returned to Vermont. He was issued a citation to appear in court on a charge of grand larceny. They just issued him a citation like he's going to show up for court. He already left the state once. I'm guessing that he probably will skip out on his court date, but that's a guess. Apparently they're very trusting the police there, in Vermont. Elsewhere in the broken news, this from the International File, a rescue crew in England, responded to a report of a person in the water. This is a water rescue crew, right? So they get a call that there is a person in the water. When they got there, they found that it was not actually a person in the water. It was a training dummy that was lost by another rescue crew. They found the rescue dummy that another crew had lost. The Royal National Lifeboat Institution answered a call in Bempton on Monday and sprang into action. However, the person in distress turned out to be a dummy named Fred that was lost by a crew in Hartlepool 2 weeks prior. So they called the other office and say, hey, we found your test dummy. The Hartlepool crew said in a Facebook post, apparently Fred had an unauthorized holiday to Yorkshire. Well, I guess if you lose one of those training dummies, you got to figure it'll probably turn up somewhere. back on this side of the pond, a search is underway in New Jersey for a man who keeps harassing people at his apartment complex while naked. South Brunswick police say the incident started in the middle of the night when a man donning only a ski mask would approach residents and touch himself. The most recent one didn't happen in the middle of the night, happened in broad daylight in front of a woman walking her dog. There have been at least a half a dozen reports of the odd behavior at this apartment complex, but police believe there may have been more. And it says it's been going on for months. Why they're only now getting involved, I don't know. Anyone who encounters the naked man is urged to contact police immediately. Did the man have any identifying marks? Did he? If you encounter a naked man at your apartment complex, call police. Well, you don't have to tell me twice. And finally, in the broken news this morning, now this is a little unusual. A homeowner in Miami Beach who sold his mansion for less than the asking price is now suing the realtor who represented him in the sale, because apparently the real estate agent did not disclose that the buyer was billionaire Jeff Bezos. Leo Chris sold his Miami Beach estate for $79 million, which is a fairly hefty sum even for Miami Beach, but he was originally asking $85 million. At one point, Mr. Chris claims that he asked the realtor if Mr. Bezos was in fact the buyer because the billionaire had purchased the property next door already. So he wondered, Jeff Bezos buying my mansion as well? The lawsuit alleges that the agent called Mr. Chris and told him that Jeff Bezos was not the buyer, but he found out after closing that the purchaser of his estate was, well, maybe not Jeff Bezos himself, but a straw buyer for Mr. Bezos. So he was tied to the Amazon founder after all. The real estate agent failed to fulfill their duties to the seller, knowing they knew or should have known who the ultimate beneficial purchaser was, and they misrepresented that very important fact, according to Mr. Chris's attorney. I get it. Jeff Bezos is like the richest person on the planet, or maybe the second richest person on the planet, but he's right up there. So why would you discount your house? I'm guessing he doesn't need to talk the asking price down, you know what I mean, in negotiations. So I can understand why this guy is upset, but I don't know if he's going to win that lawsuit or not, but I can understand why he's upset, certainly. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Lance with OSU Extension. It's harvest season. Drivers will be sharing roads with combines and grain hauling vehicles. Please be alert, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this fall to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
The Findlay Trojans play here on WFIN. This is Tim Montgomery. Join me and Coach Cliff Hite for all the action of Trojan football. You'll get every exciting play each Friday night, all season long, home and away.
This is Coach Stephen Adams. Up next on Friday night, the Trojans are at Oregon Clay.
Findlay Trojan football is here on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. At what age did you start to feel like a grown-up? New survey of 2,000 Americans finds that things start to really get real at around age 27. Age 27 is when you start to feel like a grown-up. But more often, it's actually tied to certain life milestones more so than a specific age. 56% of those in the survey believe that adulting is when you start paying your own bills. 45% say being completely financially independent is when that happens. There's a difference between them. You may pay your own bills, but still occasionally ask mom and dad for some extra money for emergencies or what have you. When you stop doing that, 45% say you are an adult. 38% say that moment when you start to put your responsibilities, prioritize responsibilities over fun. Like when you say, no, I'd love to go to the club, but I can't. I got an electric bill to pay. I don't have the money. You know? Yeah, it's really real there. You are definitely a grown-up when you start doing that. 46% say moving out of their parents' house is that time when you become an adult. And 28% say starting your first job in your chosen career field, not just any old job, but that first job in your chosen career field. And how about this? Here's one for sure. Buying life insurance. You know you're a grown-up when you decide it's time to buy life insurance. And according to the survey, millennials will do that by about the age of 28 on average. Gen Xers were 33 when they reached that milestone. Well, this is really interesting and sad, actually. According to the latest data from Feeding America, over 47 million people in the United States face food insecurity. Country music superstar Luke Bryan is partnering with the Agriculture Division of Bayer and grocery giant Kroger to improve access to nutritious food through this year's Take Care Now campaign. And joining us is Nicole Hayes. She is Director of U.S. External Communications at Bayer. Nicole, you call this the hidden hunger problem in America. Talk about this lack of access to health and nutrition resources, particularly in these rural communities.
Yes, and I mean, you said it all right there. Increasing food prices and other household expenses going up, all due to inflation, we're all feeling this, I think everyone can understand that, is causing hunger in America to get worse. You said it, more than 47 million people in the U.S., including 13 million children, are food insecure. That's an over 30% increase from last year. And food insecurity may not only mean not knowing where your next meal will come from. It also means that diets are generally poor and lack adequate vitamins and minerals. So that's what hidden hunger is. It's this form of undernutrition where people may consume enough calories but lack the sufficient vitamins and minerals needed for your diet. And I think we all know this. Nutrition and health, they are interconnected. And this hidden hunger may result in an increased risk of significant health consequences. And that's where Bayer really, we noticed this problem and we stepped in. We're a global leader in agriculture and nutritional supplements. You may know us from One A Day or Flintstones vitamins. We're in this unique position and we have a responsibility to help improve access to nutrients. And that's where the Take Care Now campaign comes in, where the campaign is raising awareness, educating communities and facilitating access to nutritious food. So we're really excited to take it off and launch it into the world and help bridge those gaps.
That's a blast from the past. You mentioned the Flintstones vitamins. I remember them. I love Flintstones vitamins.
I know.
I think a couple of important points just to underscore that you were talking about. This is a different kind of hunger. We think of hunger in like the images we see from third world countries. We're not talking about starving children here, but this is a different kind of hunger, but it is just as important in many respects.
Absolutely. And the first step is really, to your point, like understanding what hidden hunger is.
Yeah.
And that's why as part of Take Care Now, we're raising awareness of hidden hunger and educating people. So many of our most vulnerable populations lack the knowledge about the importance of vitamins and minerals and how to integrate them into your everyday diet and the value of supplementation when you need it. And that's why Bayer and Kroger, with the support of Feeding America, are distributing educational materials through our digital channels, but also, really importantly, through food banks nationwide to help enhance nutrition literacy.
And I was going to say, give us some more details about this Take Care Now campaign and helping people access the information and the care that they need.
It's a few different things that we're doing, and it starts with those educational materials that I just mentioned, making sure that food banks have those materials on hand to educate folks, because when people need food, they're going to those food banks. When you're especially in rural communities where there may be food deserts, where you have to travel miles and miles and miles to access a food store with, you know, nutritious fruits and vegetables, folks are going to those food banks. They're a critical resource in these communities, and that's why we have the educational materials there to help guide folks. And then we're also taking action through events. So we're bringing Take Care Now events to all 6 Luke Bryan farm tour stops this fall. At those farm tour stops, we're raising awareness of hunger in rural America. We're actually coming out to Millersport, Ohio, the Miller Family Farm, on September 27th. So we'll be there. The Take Care Now campaign will be there. We'll be there with Luke to help raise awareness. And, you know, really make people understand what's happening. And, you know, between these events, educational materials, and then the donations that we're making at the food banks, we're actually donating over 100,000 bottles of Flintstones, One a Day, and other nutritional supplements to food banks in the U.S. As part of this campaign to actually take some action and get some nutritional supplements in the hands of the people who need it the most.
So really cool partnership, but also it is so important because a program is only as good as the people that know that it's out there. I mean, making sure that people are aware of the campaign is incredibly important. Obviously, that's why you're here with us today. But to do these types of events, to get that information out there and get it into the hands of those who need it the most.
Yeah, so as part of Take Care Now, we're hosting our annual Here's to the Farmer initiative that benefits Feeding America during farm tour. So, I mean, I've talked about Luke a little bit, but a little bit of history there. Both Bayer and Luke have had this mutual commitment to support and recognize the American farmer for years now. Luke himself is the son of a peanut farmer, and he started Farm Tour in 2009 to give thanks to farmers and help fight hunger across the country. And this month, the Academy of Country Music is actually recognizing all this work. They're recognizing Luke, his humanitarian efforts, and our Here's to the Farmer campaign. He's getting their Living Lives Award, so we're really excited about that. And then, as I mentioned, Bayer, we're a leading life sciences company in agriculture and health, and we're focused on tackling some of humanity's biggest challenges, like food insecurity. And we're all about making health for all, hunger for none a reality. And that's what this campaign does. And so with Luke, with Kroger, we're asking folks across the U.S. to use the hashtag Here's to the Farmer on your social channels. In support, Bayer is going to provide 1 million meals to people experiencing hunger through Feeding America's network of food banks. So I encourage everyone to get on social and share hashtag Here's to the Farmer to help further raise awareness. And, you know, we've donated 9 million meals in total since the inception of this campaign. And we're really proud of that and proud of the work that we're doing to educate and bridge those access gaps.
Again, Nicole Hayes is with us. She is Director of U.S. External Communications at Bayer, talking about the Take Care Now campaign to address the problem of hidden hunger in America. Where do we get more information?
You can head on over to bayer.us/takecarenow. Check us out on social media at BayerUS, or you can head on over to your local Millersport, Ohio farm tour stop at the Miller Family Farm. Well, maybe we'll see you out on the farm.
We will look forward to it. Nicole, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And with that, we finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, with less than 2 months until Election Day, the chairman of the Ohio GOP will join us ahead of his address at the Hancock County Republicans' First Friday Luncheon. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.